I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line.
Welcome back to the Mark Steiner Show. This is Stephanie Mevronis, one of the producers for the show, sitting in for Mark Steiner. I'm here with Karen Hooper, who's the editor-in-chief of the City Paper, to talk about what's in this week's edition. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Could you talk a little bit about the theme for this week? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, we went a little off the beaten track with this issue and thought, you know, in our minds with spring, summer, we're finally having nice weather. And we did a whole issue this week on walking the city and looking at Baltimore from the pedestrian's perspective. And we cribbed a bit from this idea of the flaneur, which is this literary term and device that rose in the 1850s, kind of mid-century there. With people like Baudelaire, who used to walk Paris. And it's sort of about an urban walk and how that changes your perspective and how you are both of the crowd and yet separate from the crowd, because you're observing and yet also recording. And he walked in particular this space in Paris that was called the Arcades. And it was a semi-enclosed space, probably not dissimilar from Lexington Market or perhaps a mall, except that it was an urban setting. So it had this interior-exterior aspect of it too. And a very – traditionally, these style of essays have a very meandering quality. So they might go off on wild tangents and then kind of return to the walk itself. So we played a little bit with that form. There's an essay that I wrote about walking back from Johns Hopkins University after teaching one of my writing classes there. And one of my grad students had just said that his wife, girlfriend, had a baby that night or the night before, I think. So it was musing on kind of babies as I'm walking and time and looking at thinking about Baltimore and women over throughout the history of the city and their relationships with their kids. Then we have a piece that was a photo essay by Joe Giordano, who decided he was going to walk the length of North Avenue. So he walked one half in the morning and one half at dusk and photograph what he saw. So it's a beautiful reflection. Some of those are in the paper. There's more online. Then we have an essay by Elizabeth Dorr, who walked from her commute at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health involved a walk from Butchers Hill to Middle East. And she talks about the shift she sees in the way the neighborhoods are between Butchers Hill and Federal Hill and then going into Middle East, and ties that into the changes in life expectancy in those two neighborhoods and what those social and demographic factors, how that impacts life expectancy. So that's a really interesting one too. Then we have a lovely essay by one of our staffers, Rebecca Kirkman, and she looked at Guy Debord's theories on walking the dérive, which is a term for a focused meandering. And that idea is that you, as you walk through the city, it's exploring in a way, can you walk without direction? And can you use that as a meditative experience and through that walk kind of both connect with your environment and also loosen your thoughts and see where they take you? So she both writes about that practice and then also tries it. And that is through Charles Village. We have an article by a staffer, Brandon Weigel, on Olmsted's historic path through Roland Park. that I didn't even know existed. I knew of one long one from like the Gilman Ball Fields all the way down to like Cold Spring and across Cold Spring. But apparently there's all these little walking paths when the neighborhood was designed that connect different roads and provide these shortcuts. And they were all conceived of as promoting pedestrians mm-hmm. being able to move with ease through this neighborhood in a way that is very interesting to think about when we think about cars and suburbs right. and the way that suburbs function today. And kind of a brief aside on suburbs, we have one of the things in the intro is looking at a book about walking that one of the incidences they talk about is how suburbs are so designed for drivers. And there's these two neighborhoods, these two houses in their backyards abut, say in Orlando is the example he gives. So in order to share a cooler of beer at a barbecue, and this is a book by Wayne Curtis, you have to drive 7 miles out of this cul-de-sac house, lead up to arterial roads, connector roads, highway, and then back down and repeat that in reverse. So one of the things that's interesting to think about when you're walking in an urban environment is it is much more pedestrian friendly mm-hmm. than the way that the suburbs are. And our city, being an old city, is designed for pedestrians. You know, there's the commercial strips and there's the mm-hmm. residential block, so it's easy. People don't typically have to walk real far to run out and grab a loaf of bread or whatever. And so the issue in many ways kind of celebrates that idea and examines it and takes it apart and what's happened when cars were introduced in Baltimore. And along those lines, Baynard Woods has written a piece about calling himself a radical pedestrian. So he, in his diatribe against cars, would like to get rid of them completely in Baltimore and thinks it would be the great leveler. People are less inclined to be irritated, to flip somebody off or whatever when they're walking and they get annoyed versus when they're driving. And what does it mean to be kind of in this cocoon of a car, cut off from the sounds and sights and smells of the city versus a pedestrian? So that's a really interesting piece too.
It kind of touches on, you know, like these conversations in the city too. You know, like since the Jones Falls Expressway was put there, these conversations happening now in Charles Village, you know, about converting one-way streets to two-way streets. I think it's an interesting time to muse on some of these things.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is. And then, you know, all of, you know, when you walk the city too, you see how those highways through the city and the decisions that were made related to cars and transportation had these impacts about further segregating certain neighborhoods too and mm-hmm. cutting off neighborhoods from each other, and how that then plays out in very interesting ways in terms of how our city has mm-hmm. evolved. So,
exactly.
It's very interesting. It's interesting when you slow down enough to walk, what you notice and what you think about and how you put the pieces of our city's history mm-hmm. together and understand the way that they've kind of pushed themselves into the evolution and shaped and changed the way mm-hmm. that Baltimore has evolved over the years.
Exactly.
So, and then we have another lovely piece by Fire Angelou in which it's almost a kind of spoken word type piece. Mm-hmm. And she talks about catcalling in the city and what that's like as a woman walking through the city. And then we have another piece that's really a news story about pedestrians and pedestrian accidents by our staffer, Ed Erickson. And he talks to a woman who was hit by a car and peruses the rights and looks at the way that the laws typically favor cars. And even the terminology, mm-hmm. if you think about it, the term jaywalking suddenly puts a walker's rights to move freely through the streets behind the rights of the cars and the vehicles and, you know, the history of duking out the rights mm-hmm. of automobiles versus pedestrians. It's revealing, you know. It's a very interesting thing to look at. Mm-hmm. So
I'm so excited to read all of those pieces. They sound really cool and they're really relatable to conversations happening in the city. And Baltimore is a great place to examine walking because, like you said, I think there's a lot in Baltimore, maybe more than other places, maybe the same. I think there's a lot of evidence of some of these historic decisions that were made, intentional decisions that were made kind of in our landscape. And you can really start to see that in a different way when you're walking instead of zooming mm-hmm. by in a car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Karen. Karen is editor-in-chief of the City Paper. You can check out the articles online at citypaper.com and also pick it up all across town.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our interns are Calvin Perry and Morgan Barber. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. The podcast of Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. For your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Trying to pay you no mind. You just living your life. Everyone is a witness. Everyone got opinions.